Hey besties, Monica Ferguson here, and welcome to World Domination. This is a safe space for absolute legends who are bold enough and brave enough to go within, to recreate their belief system, to aim higher, to chase their wildest dreams and become everything that they are destined to be. This is a space for people who are serious about growth, about healing. We talk about all things mind, body, spirit, and we have the courage to go further than most people even dare to dream. Welcome, let's get into it. Hey, hey, beautiful people, Monica Ferguson here, and welcome to this week's episode of World Domination, where I bring you Stephen Burns, who is a coach, trainer, and hypnotherapist with 25 years experience. He has taught over 45,000 students in 164 different countries, and his focus is all around helping busy professionals create more calm balance through mindset, meditation, and mindfulness, which is what this episode is all about. How to use meditation to actually enhance your life. Now, apologies for the dicey internet. It did drop out a couple of times, but I promise it does come back and it's well worth the listen. So as usual, let's get into it and let me know your aha moments. Okay, Stephen Burns, welcome along.
Nice to be here, Monica.
Stephen Burns, that's a little bit formal, isn't it? I probably should have said Steve, I guess.
I mean that's okay. I mean, Steve does make me sound like I'm a 10-year-old little boy, but I'm good to go with that one. I've been called a lot worse.
We'll get to that later. So it was funny, right before we sat down to record, I was thinking about the uniqueness of this particular episode because, as you know, well, you sort of know, no one else knows that I've done heaps of your programs, your courses, which are freaking amazing. So I feel like I'm a low-key stalker already because I've heard, you know, and I've stalked you on Facebook and stuff. Like, obviously, that's my job, right? But it's weird because normally, like, you come into this podcast and you kind of, you know, you've got a list of questions, but I have this desire to, like, just sit back. I just want you to pull your whiteboard out and teach me something, and I'll just sit here and take notes. I think that's how it should go, because that's how it feels now. I'm like, you're the teacher over there. I'll just sit and listen.
No pressure.
No, I've seen your videos. You're used to this stuff. But I did love this idea that you put forth for this episode, mindfulness and meditation, because meditation totally rocked, absolutely changed my life. I think it's so cool to bring it up in this kind of context of empowerment, success, you know, this sort of thing, where it's not this fluffy, weird thing that hippies do out in the forest, but it's like actually something that is really good for everyone to be doing. So where do we begin with this?
I do agree with you. I think there is this misconception, isn't there, that, you know, you have to be like some sort of new age esoteric type to do meditation, or you have to be some sort of yogi master and can do downward dog in your sleep. But, you know, I think really when you get down to, you know, meditation should be for everyone. In fact, there's an argument to say that if you are a busy working professional, if you're someone who has a hectic career, by virtue of your lifestyle and the demands that are placed on you, then you need meditation more. And I know, like, for me, you know, so I've always dabbled in meditation, but I got really into it about 6 or 7 years ago. And at the time, believe it or not, I actually still had a job at the time as well. So I'm obviously fully self-employed now, but I used to work in the oil and gas industry. And at the same time, I was managing two businesses, or I was starting up two businesses. I don't like to do things in halves, Monica. No. I usually like to think I've done it and nearly kill myself. So I was working 12-hour shifts, and I was also starting my own business, and I was co-running another business with my business partner, Brian. We would do face-to-face trainings. And I honestly, when I think back now, I have no clue how I managed to survive that time. I just kind of got on with it, but it was super stressful and I was all over the place. And I decided that something had to change. I had to try something a little bit different. And I got into meditation a little bit more. So I did it was a 10-day meditation challenge. And I think it was about day 4 or day 5, something really weird started to happen. And I think most people that have got into meditation have one of these stories. I'm sure you have too, Monica. And I was basically, it was on my birthday, and I was in my back garden with my parents, having a couple of glasses of wine as well, as you do. And I can only describe, I started to get like this feeling I can only describe as a sense of creeping bliss, and which sounds a wee bit creepy, but it was a lot more positive than that. And it was amazing. And it was like, wow, where's this coming from? And the only thing I'd been doing differently was I'd been really meditating a lot for the previous 3 days or 3 or 4 days. And then the next day when I went back to work, there was a lot of things that happened that in the past would have really knocked me off balance, but it just didn't. It was kind of like I had this sort of like shield that was protecting me, and I thought, wow, there's definitely something in this. And I think ever since that, thankfully, I no longer have a job in the oil and gas to juggle with two businesses, but there's still a lot of pressures, you know, as I'm sure you know, as a business owner. And you know, for me, ever since that, meditation has been a huge part of my life. I don't do it every day, but it's definitely a big foundation for most of my week. I'll do it at least 3 or 4 times a week, and I don't know what I would do without it, because life is tough. Life can be chaotic, and yeah, it's just such an amazing part of my life now.
Yeah, totally agree. There's something, it almost feels, I think, back to front or sort of counterintuitive that if you're busy and stressed out, you don't want to slow down. But like the slowing down, it's like a superpower. Like you have the ability to just see things differently and you don't react. You're much more in charge, I think, of your thoughts and your reactions. Yeah, I'm totally with there. See, I'm the opposite though. I go hard. I meditate multiple times a day. Yeah, and I love it. Honestly, there's something weird that's happening with me where I can't even watch TV anymore. And I'm just like, I just want to go outside and meditate, like, or do something like that. I'm like, I don't know what's happening to me. I'm ascending or something, evolving. But it's like, I think something I actually wanted to ask you too about meditation is how do you use it? Because I was having a chat with someone the other day who was like, oh my gosh, all these thoughts keep popping up. And I'm like, yeah. They're like, no, I should be still and peaceful and quiet. I'm like, sometimes that happens for me, but other times it's like whatever I need to address or whatever's on top comes up. And I find it really useful to become quite self-aware of like, what am I actually thinking? What are my choices? Why am I choosing to react this way? Like, what are your thoughts on this? How are there any rights or wrongs around this?
It's a great question. Just to go back to one of your earlier points there, actually, I quite like the idea that you're a meditation junkie. It's kind of like you need
Gotta write that down.
rehabilitation for your meditation addiction. I think that's a lovely addiction to have. Yeah, I think it's a great question, you know, because this comes up time and time again, especially if you're someone who is a bit of an overthinker, if you have quite an active mind, or if you have quite a lot going on as well. And I guess if you are a busy working professional, then that's pretty much you. It's true. The whole point of meditation is not to stop all of your thoughts, to switch off your brain, so that you're not thinking at all. There's a word for that. It's called death. You know, that's not what we're aiming for here. That comes much, much later, hopefully. But so you're right. It is about doing your best to create a sense of stillness. And that doesn't mean that you go into meditation, all of a sudden everything becomes still and you don't do anything else. Your mind will still like flow into other ideas, and you'll think of various different things. Every now and again, you get racing thoughts. In fact, a lot of the time, certainly my experience of meditation is when you get a lovely pocket of stillness, then just after it, you sometimes get some racing thoughts because you get excited about it. And that sometimes freaks people out, and they think that it's not working. But that's not the case. That's the same for everybody. You know, it's a natural process. So I think I think what I do when that happens is I just observe the thoughts, and I don't try to judge them. I don't try to attach any meaning to them. I'll maybe even open my eyes and just write a few of them down if it's something I want to come back to. Because of course you can meditate with your eyes open as well. And for me, that's a much better way of doing it rather than trying to force the thoughts away. You do that, it just makes the whole thing worse, and you just get stressed out and you think you're doing it wrong. So yeah, I think just observing the thoughts through a kind of non-judgmental lens, and then when you're ready, just shift your attention back to that sense of stillness that you're looking to drop into. I think as well, a lot of people talk about meditation like it's some sort of weird, unnatural state, and it can feel like that, definitely. I mean, there's sometimes I've come out of meditation and I genuinely feel like I'm on drugs, you know, without the drugs, of course. And it's amazing. It's fantastic. It's a very altered state of consciousness. But I think For me, I like to think about it more as a natural state. You know, we all have a natural awareness around us right now. We're not tuning into it because usually we're thinking about other things and we're concentrating on our day. But meditation is all about kind of turning your attention to that natural awareness that's there right now. And when you do that, it just seems to have this wonderful sense of stillness that's inherent in it. So I think for me, I always like to make things natural. It's not some sort of weird thing you're trying to force yourself into. And if you get thoughts that come into your mind, that's cool. That's just part of being human. It means you're alive. It means you're not dead. It's fantastic. So that's a good sign. And then just kind of like non-judgmental attachment, and then shift your attention back to that awareness, that sense of stillness.
Yeah, love that. Also, apologies to everyone. My internet is being really funky. Have you noticed that at your end?
Yeah, you're sometimes there's a wee bit of a delay, I think that's.
Hopefully we're good now. Oh, honestly. So I was just saying that like the trusting that the subconscious mind is a genius, I guess. And so when you go into a meditation, knowing that if there's something that's stressing me out and that's constantly on my mind, then that's probably where my attention needs to go. But then other days, like you and your little birthday wine thing, and you sit and you bliss out, and it's so good. And I love that. Those moments where you're just absolutely like present are so amazing. But then other times as well, sometimes it's just getting yourself to a neutral space. Like if you're right super stressed out, you can kind of rein it back in a little bit and feel like you're empowered. I think that's a big thing. It's like how to feel like my emotions aren't in control. Like I actually like, oh, it's my emotions that make me feel like this. It's not that my life is terrible and everything sucks. It's just that I feel this right now.
It, definitely. I think it really helps with self-awareness, doesn't it? And I think one of the biggest forms of self-awareness is to appreciate that things are nowhere near as bad as what they seem. Now, of course, I'm not suggesting that some people don't have extreme hardships. Of course they do, but I think, you know, pretty much all the time, you know, we have to interpret our experience. It's the way that the brain works. And we can often add additional pieces in there just to torture ourselves, just to make it even worse. So actually, like fairly recently, I had an experience of this, and so I came back from Holland. My son is Dutch, so I go over and see him every few months. And I came back. I was in a fantastic mood, and I walked into my house, and I knew as soon as I walked in that something was wrong. You know that kind of feeling you sometimes get that something isn't quite right here. And then I heard the noise, and it was basically this like gushing of water. It was like a waterfall
Oh, no.
that was happening somewhere in my house, and I was like, "Oh no!" And so my house is a kind of upside down house. It's a bit weird. So you walk downstairs to the bedrooms, and the kitchen is upstairs, and it's very strange. And basically, what happened was there was a flooding in the kitchen, and it had come down and destroyed, you know, half the downstairs. And when I walked downstairs, the scene that I was met with was just incredible. It was like something
Oh.
from a horror movie. The whole place was completely destroyed. There was a flow of water coming through the hallway into the bathroom. It was just horrendous. And I was freaking out. You know, I was like, oh, what's going on here? And it was more of a, because it was such a pattern interrupt for me. And then what I did was I FaceTimed my mum and dad, who tend to be quite good coaches in these circumstances. And we talked it through. And at the end, they said something re really simple, but it was very profound. And they said, you know, this is nowhere near as bad as what it seems. You know, you're insured, you'll get it paid for, it'll look fantastic after a few months. There'll be a wee bit of disruption, but it's nowhere near as bad as what it seems. And it kind of almost stopped me in my tracks. And I was like, actually, you're totally right. And I think we often do that, don't we? We kind of add so many layers to the things that are happening to us, and a lot of these layers aren't particularly great, and that's exactly what I was doing. So I think when we meditate, we start to see through a lot of that, don't we? And we start to appreciate that, you know what, I'm actually just reacting to a story that I'm telling inside my mind. And again, it is about this kind of, it creates a bit more emotional detachment. It doesn't mean you're disconnected, but it just means you're a bit more aware, and you can look on from a more mature perspective. So yeah, I just think there's so many benefits, isn't there, of meditation? You know, I could talk about this all day, and I'd still be
I
talking about the benefits. But yeah, that whole kind of like perception versus reality thing is very important when it comes to meditation.
Yeah, 100%. So anyone would think meditation had hired you to like promote it, doing a good job. But you're 100% right. The self-awareness bit is what gets me. Like, the ability to take charge of my thoughts. But I think the thoughts, they don't think me like that, you know? I think that's been the biggest thing, the self-awareness around, is that even true? You can start to challenge your own beliefs because you actually start to hear your own thoughts. Like, whereas if you're busy, you don't even necessarily know exactly what's going on in your own mind. Something I did want to ask you too. So yesterday, actually, I was talking to someone about meditation who told me that sitting alone with her thoughts for 5 minutes was terrifying. Like 5 minutes of not even music, no meditation music, just sitting. Like she had to psych herself up all day to sit there for 5 minutes. And it was quite interesting because I was like, wow, like I'm the exact opposite. I could sit in silence for an hour, three times a day, no issues. I'm like, but what do you recommend for people, who are just starting out and they're having that experience?
Very interesting, isn't it? And you're right. I've seen this quite a few times before, where I think if people have maybe have some stuff going on and they don't want to address it, so they use the avoidance strategy. So they just keep busy and keep busy and keep doing things. But eventually, we do have to like turn our attention to it and start to do something about it. And I think it's all about the approach to it. And I think we often. See, we often buy into this idea that we have to banish all negativity from our life, and negativity is a bad thing. But I don't really see it that way. I think, negativity, whether it be negative thoughts or negative feelings, they have a real positive purpose. It's a part of you that's attempting to tell you something about your life. It has a hidden message that if you are open enough to listen to, if you welcome it in, then it could provide you with something really quite profound. In fact, I think that most of the big transformations that I've had in my life have come from some sort of negative experience or some sort of negative thought pattern. And it's through kind of welcoming it in and going, okay, what is it you're looking to do for me here that's positive? What are you trying to tell me? What's the message? Then that's usually turned into something really profound and something that's absolutely stuck with me, sustainable change. So I think it's really about letting people know that it might seem scary from the outside and the surface level, but actually there is a hidden message behind those thoughts, and it is actually a part of you that's calling out, that wants to be heard, that wants to help you heal and help you transform. And I think it's about kind of welcoming it in. The story I like to tell, and I'm sure you've heard me tell this story before because you've stalked me on all of my online courses, Monica, is it is a little bit like it's a little bit like Scooby-Doo. I take it you've got Scooby-Doo, or you had Scooby-Doo down in New Zealand. Please tell me you have
No,
Scooby-Doo down in
it
New
never got here. Just
Zealand.
kidding.
I never
Yes, it
got
did.
here. All right, I may be
We're
best
still
letting you go on
waiting.
it. Maybe. Wow. Oh, you're totally missing out. Now, this story might make no sense to people in New Zealand then, if that's the case, but I'll tell it anyway. So it was basically a cartoon, very, very popular in the UK, and I think it's very popular in fact, it's from America originally. And so there's three different characters in it, or there's more than three different characters, but there's a team called the Mystery Machine, and they travel from town to town, and every town has been terrorized by some sort of ghastly ghoul. And they tend to respond in different ways to the ghoul, to this monster. And one of the key characters are it's a man and his dog called Shaggy and Scooby. And their approach is basically just to run away constantly. They're cowards. They don't want to see the monster. They don't want to address it. So they basically just hide in a cupboard, or they hide underneath a bed. But the really interesting thing is, the monster is usually hiding underneath the bed with them, or is behind them in the closet. So it always gets them eventually. But then there's another character, and this is a wee kind of, I think it's a wee Jack Russell of a dog. Obviously, this is based on true story, but it's a wee Jack Russell, and he has a different approach. He wants to fight the monster. He wants to kill it. He wants to banish it. He wants to dominate it. And again, that doesn't work because he's called Scrappy Doo. He's like 2 feet tall, so he can't, fight this big monster. But the way that they always solve the problem is that they do it through investigation, and they work from the premise that maybe this is not a monster at all. Maybe there's another reason here why we're investigating this. And at the end of Scooby-Doo, every episode ends exactly the same way, that the monster actually isn't a monster, and they take off a mask. It's just a bloke in a mask. It's a former upstanding member of the community who's become a bit twisted and distorted over time. And I think this is a really good way to look at problems in general, but it's a good way to look at negative thoughts. If people are scared by them, then I think we attempt to run away from them, like, you know, these first two characters, or we'll attempt to try and banish them and try and kill them. But what you want to do is you want to explore them. You want to investigate them through openness, through willingness, and welcome them in with positivity. And when you do that, that's when you start to discover that actually it's maybe not a bad thing at all. It's got a gift. It's something there that's just been a bit distorted over time, but it has something to offer. And that's the way that I look at all problems. You know, as a coach, as a therapist, that's how I work with clients as well. I don't see their problem as a bad thing, if that makes sense. It sounds a weird thing to say. I always look at it as a message, a calling for further healing. And I think that's for me, that's the pretty much the only position I think you can take to actually help someone. So I think if you approach it from that perspective, then, you know, great transformations can happen.
I love that. Investigative. That's a really good way of looking at it. That's definitely how I think about it too. Like, yeah, all of a sudden I learn things about myself that I wasn't aware of. And especially I think when you're doing all you're spending all this time doing like subconscious techniques and stuff, and then all of a sudden something will pop into your head and it's like you're actually in a state to receive it as well. Like you're listening. So often I'll go into meditation and I'll get some random idea, or I'll have this inspired thought that I need to go and talk to that person, or I need to go to this place or get this book or whatever. And then you do it. Actually, your course was an example of that. I had bought your NLP course and I'd been sitting on it for about 6 months. And one weekend I was like, it's time. And I did the whole thing in like 4 days. I was like, this is the greatest thing I've ever done. And it was like, oh my God, I self-sabotaged so hard. Like I just put it off and it was so good. And it was like, that was a meditation. That was a little prompt. Like, come on, come on, come on. So yeah, really interesting. Hey, but yeah, I was just thinking, like, do you have any tips for people who, because I know there are people that resist, right? Because it is challenging sometimes if you're just beginning to sort of learn how to be present with yourself. But what about people who actually have like suppressed so much just pain and trauma and darkness and stuff that it's actually terrifying for them to start to even crack that can open? You know, like they just, what do you do? Like, how do you navigate that?
It's a good question. I think that there definitely comes a point where if there's something really big going on with someone, it is advisable for them to speak to someone about it. And because sometimes we can be so involved in our own experience that we can't really see the wood for the trees. We don't really quite know what's going on. So I think in those instances, if it is something big and it is something traumatic, you do want to go see a therapist, definitely, or a coach, if you want to call it that. It's a more kind of modern way of looking at it. But I think it is important because they will be able to look on and see some of the things that you can't potentially see. And a lot of the time, if we have had like quite big traumas that are getting in the way, then it does sometimes block us from doing meditation. I mean, I know when I first started doing NLP and various different forms of self-hypnosis and meditation, it didn't really work for me in the beginning. You know, I've been doing it for a long time now. I've been doing it for like 25 years, NLP in particular, which does make me feel a little bit old. But I did start when I was young. But at the start, I couldn't really do the techniques they were asking me to do. And the reason why was because I had a couple of very big blocks from my kind of teenage years. I had quite a lot of bad stuff happening in school and various different things like that. So I did have to actually work with someone. I did a lot of work on myself as well, and to actually uncover those blocks and to release them. And then once I'd done that, it was almost like the floodgates were open. You know, it's full throttle. It's no problem whatsoever. I can do, and everything started to work after that stage. Meditation was so much more powerful. All the kind of the self-help techniques seemed to start to work, and it was because I'd managed to release those blocks. So I do think there definitely is a point where if you really are struggling and it's so terrifying and there's clearly some stuff going on there, that is a time to go and speak to a therapist or a counselor, whatever your tipple, whatever your fancy. And they can help you release that. I tend to go down a more alternative route with therapy. I've found it's been much more powerful for me. So I'm a little bit biased in that. It really worked for me. So, and it works for the clients I work with. So I tend to go down that route. But yeah, obviously a traditional route, like more kind of like CBT and counseling, can also be very powerful too. So yeah, I think there comes a point where you've got to go, right, I need to do something here. I need to get some help.
I love that. And I think meditation is such a good tool to be used alongside these other things. But I'm with you, alternative all the way. Like subconscious stuff rocked my world. Hypnotherapy, NLP, even tapping. Have you tried that? EFT, tapping?
It's fantastic, really good.
So powerful. Just these nervous system regulation techniques. But it's that safety thing, right? Because I was that person that in the beginning could not sit there because, like, oh my God, if I actually allow myself to be present with myself, I have to feel all this shit that is so painful and so scary, and I don't want to do that. So I'm just going to fill up my life with so much stuff that I never have to be alone with my thoughts. But it was that combination of, hypnotherapy, NLP, and then starting to learn how to be present and to slow down. And then you'd stumble upon something else, some other breakthrough, some other thing that you've got to take to your next coaching session because you didn't realize that was there. But it's like that's the power, right? It's like then you actually know these things. You're not just fumbling through your life with no self-awareness whatsoever, which I think most people actually settle for. They're fine being sort of unconscious to their own life.
Yeah, abs no, you, I think you're 100% correct, and I think the thing as well I always like to remind myself of is I think we are naturally supposed to be in a state of like awareness and bliss. You could call it a meditative state. If you think back to when you're a kid, that's kind of the state that you lived your life in. A lot of people ask me if it's okay to hypnotize kids because I do a lot of hypnotherapy. And my answer is always, kids are in hypnotic states all the time. It's like they just go from one hypnotic state to another. They're in this constant state of like awareness, and it's very similar to some meditation states that you can go into. And I think what happens is, as adults, we start to grow our more kind of cognitive parts of our brain, and that just gets in the way, doesn't it? And so I think it's, and I think when we start to release a lot of these things that we've talked about here, we naturally just go back into these more blissful states anyway. But I think, yeah, I think it's true. I think a lot of people do fill up their lives with nonsense just to stop them from looking at the dark closets within. And but I think we've got to do it. And I think that the difference is when you do release these things like meditation, just it becomes like a natural process.
For sure. Okay, so final thoughts for people, your sales pitch for meditation, if you will. What do you think the key benefits are, the key reasons people should give it a crack?
I love the idea that meditation has a sales rep, meditation agent and stuff that goes about promoting itself, and it's got its own YouTube channel and stuff like that. It's pretty cool. I think that there are so many benefits. And I think nowadays, if you want to check out the research, if you're someone who likes that sort of thing, then there's now truckloads of research that shows that meditation can improve, anxiety, stress. It can produce feelings of calm, feelings of happiness. It increases concentration. It helps us focus a lot more natural as well, because we're training our brain to be more present. The benefits are just endless. I think ultimately it all comes back to it helps you be more in the moment. And I think if you look at like all of the kind of like self-help books and the techniques out there and the processes, they've all got something to offer. But I think at the end of the day, what human beings really crave, especially adult human beings, kids are different because they're always in this place, is to be more present and to actually just connect with the joy and the beauty of life, and get as much from it as they possibly can. I think ultimately that's where we want to be. And obviously we can't stay there all the time because we have a brain and we think and we plan and we do all of these various different things. But if we can just have more moments like that in our life, then we are happier, we are more fulfilled, irrespective of what it is that you do. You could be a millionaire and be miserable because you can't have those moments. You could be broke, but you can be happy because you have plenty of those moments. So I think it doesn't really matter what your situation is. If you can have more of these present moments, then that's where a lot of the joy and fulfillment of life comes in. And for me, meditation gives that. That's what it provides. A quick story actually. So there, so I know, like, for me, for ages, I denied that I had an eyesight problem. So it's nothing sinister. It was just like natural aging process. And I was becoming a danger on the roads because I was driving along and I couldn't see road signs. And eventually, I was like, I really need to do something about this. So I went and I got glasses. I'm short-sighted. And when I was driving home from the optician, honestly, I couldn't believe it was like, wow, I can actually see properly. This is what the world is supposed to look like. And I remember being really obsessed with trees, you know, and I even stopped my car and I got out and I looked at trees and I was like, with my glasses on, and I was like, wow, trees are cool. It was like you could see the textures and the colors and all the detail, and it was fantastic. And I remember thinking to myself, they've always been like that, but I've just missed them until now. And I think for me, that's what meditation gives you. It gives you that the joy of being in the present moment, of seeing the beauty and the pleasure and the joy that life has to offer. But we often miss it because we're not looking for it. We're too busy with other things going on. So for me, I think if I was to sell meditation, many benefits, lots of research, but that is the key thing that makes it so worthwhile.
And that is a wrap. Thank you for showing up for yourself, for being here, and please let me know your aha moments. I want to hear all about them. For extra support, make sure you're following me on TikTok and Instagram at the Monica Ferguson. Check out the School of Greatness for self-study courses. And of course, if you want one-on-one mentoring, just DM me and I would love to have a chat with you. Go and slay the day. Thank you for being you. See you soon.